Mike Collins.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. This summer, we're circling Charlotte to pay radio visits to the towns that surround the Queen City. We're calling it Block by Block, and we're using this as an opportunity to demonstrate what civic leaders have been saying for years, that we're all in this together, and that when one city or town does well, we all benefit. So today, we head west to Belmont. Actually, they've come east to us. Just down I-85, Belmont lives in the shadow of Charlotte, but don't tell that to its residents. They've built a thriving town after years of trying to recover from the virtual end of the textile industry. This town, which was established, I believe, in the late 1880s as a textile and railroad hub, seems to have figured out its future. Belmont's Main Street is thriving with shops and restaurants and bars. Belmont Abbey College is right down the road, and the area boasts something no other place in the region can claim, the Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden. Here to brag a bit about what some have called a hidden gem are three people who know Belmont well. Adrian Miller is Belmont's assistant city manager. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Chad Hutchison is chef and owner of the String Bean. That's a restaurant. Actually, it's more than a restaurant. We'll talk about that. Which recently received the Best of Award of Excellence from Wine Spectator. He also owns and operates 10 Catawba, which is an event location. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mike.
And last but not least, Brian Anderson is the owner of Happy Dog Cafe. It's a pet cafe.
Correct.
It's not for people. It's for
not
pets.
Not for people.
He's also a lifelong resident of Belmont. Thank you for being here, too.
Thank you, Mike.
What's the best thing about living and working in Belmont? I'll start with the lifelong resident. Go ahead, Brian.
You know, the best thing about Belmont, if you will, is the sense of community. Truly, the sense of community with the business aspect as well. You know, living here all my life in Belmont, you kind of know everybody. You know by their name, mm-hmm. And what I like about the aspect of the business part is it's easy to make a transaction because you know everybody typically. And as people come in, more people come in from the north, the south, and east, and the west, you kind of get more of a community atmosphere, more of a feel to it.
Is that what's kept you there your whole life?
Oh, for sure.
Now, the two of you, Adrian and Chad, are not lifelong residents. So you've come in from other places. So tell me what's the best for you.
Well, I think for my wife, Katie, and I, it's exactly what Brian was speaking of. It was a sense of community. We lived in Charlotte for 6 years, wound up on Main Street one day and just fell in love with the history of it, the downtown, the walkability. It was just a great sense of community.
Adrian?
Yeah, I would agree. I'm from Gastonia, and there was not a whole lot to go visit in Belmont growing up in Gastonia. And then about 8 or 10 years ago, we visited, and my wife and I just fell in love with the Main Street, with the businesses there. And we had a one-year-old at the time, and couldn't imagine a better place to raise our family.
We did had a similar conversation with people from Matthews not too long ago, and one of the things, we had a couple of business people on the program along with your equivalent, I think, Adrian, and the business folks in Matthews are like one big happy business. They're all in each other's business. They're all cooperating with each other's business. They're all throwing business to each other. Is the same thing happening in Belmont?
I believe it is. You know, even with Chad, with the String Bean and whatnot, even with me, with Happy Dog Cafe, we kind of have a sense of connection, mm-hmm. To help each other out, even though we're in a different markets, retail or restaurant for that matter. I think we have a sense of community to come together and for the greater good of Belmont, and I believe that's a good aspect to have for sure.
Yeah, I agree, Brian. We use a lot of different vendors, but obviously we source locally with our new event venue, Historic Ten Catawba. We do a lot of corporate events and weddings, but we try and push local vendors, local photographers, local breweries, local distillers. So we really push local. We have that sense of community.
Let's talk a little bit about history first, because one of the things that makes Belmont unique and quaint is the fact that you have preserved, and we'll talk about how you did that. You know, you've preserved that Main Street feel from an earlier bygone era. I said that in the beginning that Belmont was a textile and railroad hub, and I said I thought that it began in the late 1880s, but I ran across a founding date late in reading yesterday that takes it back to the 1750s. Is that a mistake, or did it actually start in the 1870s, 1880s?
Well, the town was incorporated in 1895, but prior to being an incorporated town, it was a railroad stop. And we had our first textile mills in about the 1850s.
Okay.
But certainly the Catawba Indians were in the area.
So probably the 1750s was a misprint. It was the 1850s.
Probably.
So originally the town was called Garibaldi, which yes. reminds me of chocolate. it was named after John Garibaldi, who built a water tank
yes,
near the
correct.
Railroad. Is that why Belmont was born? Because the railroad passed through? What was why did it start?
Well, it was the railroad came through, and Mr. Garibaldi built the water stop for the trains to stop. And once the train stopped, then there needed to be some things to do for the people that worked on the train. Mm-hmm. And so then we had stores come up, and then all of a sudden we had textiles coming up because we do have two rivers. And so they needed the water from the rivers for the textile mills. Then you had the railroad for the transportation.
Mm. And the railroad was going from where? The mountains to the coast? Do you know where it was going? You have any idea?
It's the Atlanta to Charlotte Railroad.
Okay.
Norfolk Southern Line now.
It makes you wonder, since you have two rivers, why Charlotte didn't start there, or why you haven't eclipsed Charlotte, because most big towns have rivers running mm-hmm. through them. Belmont Abbey College was established not long after the railroad came to town. A group of Benedictine monks came from Pennsylvania. I'm not sure why they came to Belmont from Pennsylvania, but that was back during the time when the town was called Garibaldi. Mm-hmm. Garibaldi, Mr. Garibaldi, and many other residents mostly were Protestants. Did it go over well that these Catholic monks were setting up shop?
There was probably a little bit of a culture clash back then, but they have been fantastic neighbors to the town, and we actually do have a large Catholic population now, thanks in part to the Benedictine Society and Belmont Abbey College being there.
Yeah. You are a native, as you said, of Gastonia, I believe. Before
yes,
you came to Belmont, you worked for the city of Hickory, and you just happened to venture into Belmont one day and walk down the main street and decide, this is where I want to live. What was it about that experience? Because that's a life change. It's a major life change. What made you, what clicked?
It is, and when you grow up in a town and you leave to go off to college, you don't think you're going to move back to your area.
Oh, right.
And so we had no intention of moving back to Gaston County, but we were visiting our family in Gastonia, and we happened to have dinner at Sammy's one night, and it was a Saturday evening, and the city was having a concert in the park at Stowe Park, which is downtown right across the street from the restaurants. And we just walked across the street into that concert in the park and thought, wow. Here's this little town of Belmont that we knew about and we went to for high school sports and whatnot, but never thought about living here. And it was just a fantastic experience. The park was full of people on a Saturday night in June when it was hot. The restaurant was full. There was active street life, but yet it was this great little small town. And we thought, you know, from that one instance, if this is representative of Belmont, this is where we want to live.
And Chad, where are you from originally?
Small town in Georgia, Flowery Branch.
So, wow, Flowery Branch. What a
nice.
What a nice name for a town.
Yeah, it was a great town to grow up in.
Yeah. But you went to App State, right?
Yes.
Appalachian State.
Mm-hmm.
And you were teaching classes at Johnson & Wales University here in Charlotte when you paid a visit to Belmont and decided to move there. You're another person who just walked down the street and said, I'm home. How? Why? What happened?
It was, you know, similar to Adrian's story, it's the charm. We went to a Knights game and somehow wound up in Belmont.
For Rock Hill?
Took a wrong turn.
We did. We took a wrong turn in Albuquerque. But we were coming down Main Street and there was an old house that had a for sale sign on it, which is pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, at the next red light, jumped out of the car and I had to turn down the next street. And we fell in love with the house. And that's literally how we got to Belmont. It's just the charm was a big, big draw for us. We had no intentions of moving. We lived here in Charlotte and behind Park Road Shopping Center.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great house. So it was a surprise to us as well that we wanted to move to this little town outside of Charlotte.
That's the biggest change, because the Park Road Shopping Center, it used to be the edge of town here in Charlotte mm-hmm. a long time ago, but now it's the center of town. What was the biggest change when you moved there? What did you have to get used to? Or what did you miss anything?
Well, and yes, to answer your question, it was very impulsive for us. We fell in love with the house, and then we get to Belmont. And literally, necessity is the mother of all invention. So that's how the string bean started. I went to a local grocery store one day looking for my favorite beer, and lo and behold, it wasn't there. Similar story a couple weeks later, I went to a local grocery store looking for fresh salmon. It wasn't there. So we were kind of culture shocked, if you would, to find that we live in this great town, this great house, beautiful Main Street, but there was a lack of certain items that we were used to.
You, Brian, are a lifelong resident. Are right. most of the people there lifelong residents, or are you plagued by the influx of newcomers?
I wouldn't use the like word us. Plague by no means. But, you know, it's actually a mixture, truly, Mike, a mixture of the old guard, I like to call it, and the new guard, if you will. I think it's a great, actually, diversity, if you will, because we get to have the aspects of new ideas, new placements, new people come through, and of course you mingle with the old guard, and we kind of figure out what works and what does not work, and in reality it works for the best for Belmont for sure.
What kind of changes have you seen? Because Adrian mentioned that there was very little to recommend Belmont when he was growing up in Gastonia, and I understand that the Main Street was pretty much of a deserted, boarded up area not till not too long ago, and now it's like walking down Main Street at Disney World.
What authentic.
But it's authentic. Exactly.
Thankfully,
right.
Yes.
What are the changes what are the biggest changes that you've lived through?
Diversity of services and products that people offer nowadays. But for instance, you know, you mentioned about the whole downtown Belmont region about 10 years ago. Well, honestly, I mean, I've lived here all my life. I could see a tumbleweed going down Main Street 10 years ago, truly. And then when we opened up Happy Dog Cafe 8 years ago, it was truly a very venturous project, to say the least, because you didn't have the diversity of other companies within as well helping you out, and then the influx of other companies like, for instance, String Bing and Tinkataba and other like Gigi's Boutique and whatnot, it kind of helped us kind of evolve into a better company, to say the least, and that's more of a better factor for Belmont.
Was the revitalization of Main Street, was it something that just happened because we seem to be experiencing this resurgence of downtowns all across the country now? Or was it something that the city officials, county officials, residents pushed for?
It was very intentional. In the 1990s, the city leaders realized that the textile industry was leaving. That Belmont as a textile community was not going to survive, and it would be a desolate town if we didn't do something. And we needed to have a reason for people to stay in Belmont and to come to Belmont. So Mayor Kevin Lofton and the city council at the time in the mid-90s spent the outrageous sum of $1 million to spruce up Main Street. And
was there opposition to that? Because
he lost the election.
Yes.
Off of that. And people
because
came to
people
to,
thought he was spending too much money. A boondoggle?
Right. Yes. And a lot of that money went into the ground to replace water and sewer and to bury the power lines.
Mm.
So things that had, you know, great vision and forethought, it cost him an election.
You may not remember that terribly well, Brian, because I think you're pretty young. But what was the reaction of in your family to that $1 million being spent to bury things under the ground that you can't even see?
It came with opposition, truly, Mike. It came with opposition at first. And then after they saw the true plan, the actual project played out, they changed their minds. It was really – it became – even though he didn't lose the election, correct,
right.
They look back on him and saying – he was a great visionary.
Well, it's paid off, and we'll tell you why or how it's paid off as we go through this hour with Adrian Miller, who's Assistant City Manager of the City of Belmont, Chad Hutchison, owner of the String Bean and Tinkataba, historic Tinkataba, I heard him say, and Brian Anderson, owner of Happy Dog Cafe and a lifelong resident, as we continue our block-by-block series this summer, today focusing on Belmont. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, providing comprehensive care for infants to seniors, including audiology, allergy, cataracts, diabetic eye care, glaucoma, and sleep medicine. Details at goodsenses.com. Charlotte has a new police chief, and you will meet him in the first part of our show tomorrow, a CMPD veteran who rose through the ranks. We talk about his time with the department and how he intends to lead the force during a period when police departments around the country are under increased public scrutiny. That's in the first part of the program. And then we meet a man who is part of a growing movement of photojournalism and exploration called Urban Exploration, or Urbex for short. That's all tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, Jim Webb has been a U.S. Senator and Secretary of the Navy. He now has his eye on the White House. Former Senator Jim Webb on the future of the Democratic Party and his bid to be the 2016 Democratic nominee.
The Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Today we're talking about Belmont, and it's part of our block-by-block series as we go around to some of the smaller areas that ring the city of Charlotte and make up the region. We've been talking about the revitalization of downtown Belmont. The North Carolina chapter of the American Planning Association has given Belmont kudos as one of the state's great main streets, recognizing the best city planning efforts in the state. That has to be a big feather in your cap. When did you get that award?
It was a great honor. We received that earlier this year, I believe in April.
And the reaction to that was it vindication for the mayor? Is the mayor still alive who did all of this?
No, unfortunately, he was killed in a traffic accident several years ago.
But vindication for him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You're a member of the City Council-approved Main Street Program Board for the enhancement and protection of downtown Belmont. What are your guiding principles? Because it is kind of a fairy tale. It's authentic, and yet it looks like you were dropped back 150 years ago.
And that's also very intentional. We have this fantastic historic architecture. The building's up right on the sidewalk. They were built in the late 1800s, early 1900s for the most part. And we've been blessed with property owners who have invested in their properties and have maintained them. Certainly, we don't have a local historic district, so there's nothing preventing.
The whole place is historic.
The whole place is historic, but right. We don't have a local district. So anybody could knock down those buildings and build something contemporary, but it would look so out of place that no one has done that. Mm. And now we've had new businesses come in, and so you've got the Happy Dollar Cafe, which 10 years ago, who would have thought the Belmont would have this high-end specialty shop catering to dogs? And we have a popcorn shop, of all things, that has specialty popcorns and different flavors of popcorns. Who would have thought we'd had that? But it's because we have this authentic Main Street that you just don't see anymore.
Do you have that because Main Street has become kind of a tourist attraction, so people want to be able to nosh on popcorn, and they want to be able to drop into your place and have a little lunch maybe, but also pick up some knickknacks and stuff? I mean, is that part of it, or is it mostly because the residents want this?
I think we do get a fair amount of tourist traffic, especially being or having our proximity to 85. Mm-hmm. We're maybe half a mile off 85. But going back to the architecture and the charm and the building owners, you know, we recently renovated a building that's 70, 80 years old. It was originally a Ford dealership, and it's literally in the heart of downtown. And as Adrian was saying, there's no historic preservation regulations or laws. We could have done anything with that building we wanted to. Mm. But as residents, we felt an obligation to bring it back to its original history, to its original charm.
Why don't you have any historic preservation rules and regulations?
We are currently having a conversation about how much historic preservation we want to have.
Exactly.
How much should be voluntary, how much should be compulsory by the government. And it's that classic tension between property rights and the community good.
Mm.
So stay tuned.
What's that conversation been like so far?
It's actually been very positive. With the help of the city government coming in together, we can help each other with the historic preservation of the buildings. And what was it, the Historic Belmont Foundation as well, Adrian?
We have a foundation that's helping to promote historic preservation. Exactly. Certainly if we had historic preservation tax credits, that would help incentivize preservation.
Because you've done something that Charlotte has been unable to do. You've attracted retail to downtown. We're beginning to fixed things up piece by piece, and our retail is hidden cleverly on the Overstreet Mall. People who come here don't realize we have all these shops. They're hidden upstairs. How have you been able to do that? What was do you offer incentives to locate on Main Street, or is it just people coming in saying, this is where I want to be?
Well, I think that we're blessed with so many people living downtown and living right around downtown and with an easy walk or bike ride to downtown. Mm-hmm. As Chad mentioned, we have great connectivity to the interstate. So we do draw people from Charlotte and Gastonia and Lake Wylie and in the region.
But you get off the interstate at Belmont, you don't know that downtown Belmont is there, because if you get off the interstate and go toward Belmont, the first thing you pass is a Ford dealership,
right,
and a McDonald's. And then there's a fork in the road, and you have to decide, do I go left, do I go right? If you go left on the fork, there you are.
Exactly.
But, you know, people may not realize that you're even there.
And we're working on that with the wayfinding program to make that easier to find. But you're exactly right. Charlotte has had a problem attracting retail historically downtown. Well, I should say in the recent history, right. They're doing much better now. You've always been able to get a Snickers bar in downtown Belmont. And I think it's because we have some people who live downtown. So we do have a lot of local support from Belmont residents, but also Belmont should not be able to support 12 restaurants downtown, but
that's
we do.
Right.
I mean, a town of 10,600 should not support the kind of retail and restaurants that we have. So we're obviously drawing people from the region.
I read that one of the things that enabled you to be so successful was that in 1999 there was a referendum that permitted alcohol sales, which gave rise to these restaurants and other shops. That, too, was a controversial decision.
That was
People
very
are still very upset by this in
they,
some
they
quarters.
Still are. They still Absolutely. Are. Absolutely.
Why? It's been so successful for you.
I think it's the South.
Yeah. People have cultural or religious objections to alcohol.
Sure. Has there been a lot of rowdiness because of the alcohol that's now sold in some of these restaurants and bars?
I don't think so. I think it falls upon the owner of the restaurant to really dictate what type of establishment you have. For example, my restaurant, we only have beer and wine. We close at 10 o'clock. So
I know.
We're not more. That's work right. on that next time you're in town.
Mike Collins hours.
but it is a walkable community. So, that's why snow days were very busy. Everybody walks downtown. So.
The same thing happened, I think, when alcohol sales were allowed in Mecklenburg County. We used to be a brown bag city. You brought your own liquor to the restaurant, and they would uncork it and pour it for you, and you took it back in a brown bag. And when they started selling mixed drinks, suddenly there was a reason for restaurants to exist, because that's where the profit margin is, I guess, in sales of drinks. In Belmont in 2007, there were three restaurants in downtown Belmont. 8 years after that vote, and I don't know if that counts the McDonald's, by the way, but 8 years after that vote, there are 12 restaurants, as you just said, with another on the way, each locally owned, each locally operated. So since the blossoming of the restaurants was 8 years after the vote, is it really the vote for alcohol sales that allowed the restaurants to blossom, or was something else at work?
I think it's a combination of everything we've been discussing. I mean, the vote happened in 1999, and then really nothing happened for several years.
That's right.
And then as the Main Street matured, more people moved into town, then that created the demand for the restaurants. So but it certainly helped. I'm sure the restaurants like the String Bean and Sammy's and Oldstone probably wouldn't be as successful without alcohol sales. But that may have helped in the decision to open the restaurant. But I think it's just a combination of everything that we're doing in Belmont to allow restaurants to attract and be successful.
And your business has nothing to do with alcohol sales, because I don't think dogs drink yet, but all that they're probably working on.
That's right.
You started
we're in talks.
Yours is a canine boutique and spa.
Yes. Boutique and spa, that's correct.
Talk to me. Tell me about this place.
Sure. We offer all-natural dog food, grooming, high-end grooming as well, daycare facility, and more of a personal touch, Mike, compared to, like, say, your big box stores. When somebody comes in here and has a problem with, like, their allergies of their dog and whatnot, you know, itching, scratching, we take the time to actually talk to them and listen to them and help them trying to find a remedy without having to go to the veterinarian every single day to spend more money, if you will.
Wow.
And that's where, when it comes down to what kind of good stuff in, good stuff out, mindset. And that's what we kind of our whole basis of what we do at Happy Dog Cafe, trying to help the empowerment of the dog.
Well, you're kind of a pioneer, because as you said, when you started your business, you could see tumbleweeds going down Main Street. So why would you do that to yourself? Why would you put yourself at that kind of an economic risk to open, first of all, a very niche business on an empty street down which tumbleweeds were rolling.
Right before the recession.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Yes. We love Belmont. We love
really?
my family loves Belmont. We lived here all our life. We knew that the honestly, the reason why we started opening up Happy Dog Cafe in downtown Belmont, we had actually looked at other areas of the country and saw that there was a popular growth in the pet food industry. Mm-hmm. And thus, we knew Belmont was on the verge of something spectacular. And that's why we said, you know what? My mom and I said, we're going to do this. And we did it. And we're so thankful we did it because, first off, the city leaders are fantastic to the local business owners as well. Kudos to Adrian Miller and the gang because they have really helped us out so many avenues that we never would have been able to help out before. But Belmont, it was a special place for us. We lived here. We grew our family here. We were going to invest our money into Belmont. And thus, the payback has been spectacular.
Wow. Chad, you were at Johnson & Wales before you opened your own business here. Johnson & Wales is more than a chef school. It is a hospitality school. What were you concentrating on when you were teaching there?
I was on the business side, and albeit the smaller minority of the overall university, they do have a business college as well.
Mm. So you opened the String Bean. Why the name?
The String Bean. I love this story. Long story short, because we only have an hour, but...
Thanks for noticing.
I'm from Georgia, and I grew up in a rural setting. Not necessarily a farm, but we always had a large garden. And I would remember as a little kid, my mom, my grandmother, my sister, basically the sewing circle would sit out back by the garden in the summer and string beans. They would always try and get me to do this, of course, but I always wanted to just ride my bike down the street. Food and wine, it brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like in this society, everybody's so busy. When everybody's having families, it's that dinner time at the table that's lost. And when I opened this place, I wanted it to be small, and it's downtown Belmont. I felt like there needed to be a family component to it. And when I was talking to my wife one day, I said, I just want it to be a place like we're, back home, you could go and string beans. So,
and do people do that in the
no, they don't do it in the restaurant. I do get that question quite a bit, but it's more of a analogy.
So it's a rest. It's kind of a cafe, as I understand it, and with a store where you can actually buy things to take home with you, right?
Yeah, we're actually a hybrid. We're a full service restaurant, mm-hmm. But we also have a retail component. We have a full butcher shop where we cut all of our own steaks, grind our own meat for our burgers. Fresh every day, fresh seafood every day. We also have a large beer and wine component as well.
Those of you who follow us on Facebook and Twitter know that we've put out a question. If you live or have visited Belmont, what do you like about it? And if you want to respond to that question, you can do that by searching for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter, or you can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org. People have already done this. Amanda on Facebook says, we love to go to Sammy's restaurant whenever we can. The staff there is great. Cindy on Facebook writes, hometown, family-oriented atmosphere. Peter on Twitter, great restaurants, plenty of space to walk and run, proximity to Charlotte. He likes that about it. Diane, don't forget the Belmont Historical Society. Well, I don't know anything about the Belmont Historical Society, so fill us in. Adrian?
The Belmont Historical Society is a fantastic group of folks that strive to preserve our history. They've got a museum on Catawba Street downtown where you can go in and you can see artifacts from particularly our mill days. They've got we used to have a small train at Stowe Park downtown that everybody used to ride. They've preserved one of those train cars. They do a great job.
Where did the train go?
It went in a circle in the park.
Okay.
It was one of the miniature trains.
I'm surprised you haven't put that back in.
There's some discussion about it.
Sure
we are a train town.
Well, you are a train town. I'm told that there's this train track that runs right through the center of town. Now, most towns would curse that train because it stops traffic and it gets in the way, blah, blah, blah. I'm told that people in Belmont will actually, in the nice weather, will actually bring out folding chairs and sit there and watch as the train goes by.
There are people that bring the folding chairs and they're there for the afternoon. They have a little cooler of water and soda and they sit there and they watch the train and take pictures and post videos to YouTube.
Okay. So it's not a nuisance.
In fact, I mentioned Stowe Park, which is our downtown park. When kids are playing on the playground and they're running around the park and they hear that train horn, they stop what they're doing, they run up the hill to the train tracks and watch
the train.
That train. It's amazing.
I also understand that you are discussing a trolley.
We are.
Now, yes. You know, our trolley just opened here yesterday.
Congratulations.
And people are still ticked off about it. Not everybody's congratulating us. And it's not like the Lynx. When the Lynx line opened, before it opened, the day before it opened, people were saying, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. It's a boondoggle. It's going to cost. And then the day it opened, it was a major success, and everybody got quiet. I think after the opening ride, there were 5 people on the trolley yesterday, and it's free. So people are still saying, what's up with the trolley?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why you want a trolley. Did you have a trolley before?
We had a trolley before. There used to be interurban streetcar service between Belmont and Mount Holly that would transfer the mill workers from Belmont to Mount Holly, and they would go back and forth.
Uh-huh.
So we used to use it as an actual streetcar service. Yeah. Those tracks have been inactive for about 25 years.
Are they still down?
The tracks are still in the ground.
Oh, yes. They're still there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so there's a nonprofit organization called Belmont Trolley Incorporated that's currently raising money to purchase an authentic, I believe it's a 1930s Brill trolley that ran in Portugal. But it was authentic to the area. So those types of trolleys ran in Belmont and Charlotte.
When you say trolley, do you mean streetcar? Because we're running trolleys right now, and there are trolleys and streetcars. When I grew up in Washington, we had streetcars, and they didn't look like this. They didn't look like San Francisco. They looked like trains, essentially. What are you looking at?
This is an authentic trolley. Now, we are not going to have the overhead electrical lines like Charlotte has.
Okay.
This will be pushed by a quiet diesel engine. Okay. But it'll be a 15 mile an hour, so it's a very slow speed. It's not a people mover.
And where are these tracks?
The tracks they run north south from downtown Belmont to Belmont Abbey College. So they cross Wilkinson Boulevard and they cross I-85.
Oh, I've seen them, and I always wondered what they were because I've never seen a train on them. So they're actually trolleys.
Trains haven't run in about 25 years.
Well, if this trolley doesn't work out here, you can probably buy a couple of cars.
That's right, a great price.
Matt writes, I'm a new resident in Belmont, love the area, but don't feel that there is any need for a trolley. I feel that focus should be put into improving what we already have. Most of the intersections in Belmont don't have proper crosswalks, pedestrian signals, with the exception of the downtown strip. Belmont is a very active community. On a nice evening, you will see many of the sidewalks filled with walkers and joggers, etc. Perhaps investing in a walking path along the tracks would be a better use of time and money. Have you heard that comment before?
We have heard that comment, and I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. Certainly, we have a very active community, and we're working to put in more crosswalks and bike lanes and sidewalks. We are currently working to put a greenway along those same railroad tracks to connect downtown to Belmont Abbey. We're working – it's an NCDOT corridor. We're working with the state and the adjacent property owners to put in a greenway.
Because you're talking about this trolley going from Belmont Abbey to your downtown. Now, we're putting a Lynx extension into UNC Charlotte, and one of the benefits of that for UNC Charlotte will be that the students can come downtown quickly and easily. The other benefit is that the businesses who are downtown, particularly at the 7th Street area, which is Bar Central, on a weekend, this would be any weeknight, as a matter of fact, college kids coming down there can get back and forth safely on the train. Do you anticipate the same thing happening in Belmont if you do what you're planning to do?
Certainly, obviously on a smaller scale, but yes. And having both the greenway and the trolley will better connect the college to downtown.
We're coming right back. We're talking about Belmont as part of our Block by Block series this summer on Charlotte Talks. Stay with us. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members at Honda of Concord, committed to customer service, satisfaction, and bringing excellence to the car buying experience. Offering a selection of over 700 new and pre-owned vehicles. Details at hondaofconcord.com. Well, on the Diane Reem Show, they're going to try to do what they were planning to do yesterday, which I think got bumped for information on Iran. But former Senator Jim Webb, a Democrat from Virginia, will be talking with Diane Reem about the future of the Democratic Party and his bid to be their 2016 nominee. That's coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Reem Show. By the way, today's show is part of WFAE's Block by Block series, where you'll hear periodic news reports and editions of Charlotte Talks about the changes in and around Charlotte and Mecklenburg County and others as the city grows. Hope you'll keep an ear out for more, and you can check out the series at wfae.org/Charlotte Talks. Want to join our conversation? Search for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter.
It's your world. We help you explore it.
Democracy doesn't come without violence. It doesn't come without discussion.
It's your community. we help you understand it.
The Confederate flag is taken down, folded up, and sent down the street to take its place with other Civil War era banners. For WFAE News, I'm Duncan McFadden in Columbia.
Morning Edition on WFAE is an essential way to start your day and stay connected to your world. Listen weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Belmont today as part of our Block by Block series this summer. Adrian Miller is the assistant city manager of the city of Belmont. Chad Hutchinson is a chef and owner of the String Bean and also Historic 10 Catawba. Brian Anderson is a lifelong resident of Belmont and the owner of the Happy Dog Cafe and Spa. Beth writes, I am a resident in nearby Cramerton. I love the small town quaintness of both Cramerton and Belmont. I'd be interested in hearing from your panelists on how the city is preparing to preserve the smallness of the town while planning for the large residential community, 800 homes, I believe, that's being built on a nearby lake. Let's talk about that, because preserving what you have, you've created this goose that's laid the golden egg. And as you let people in on the secret, people want to come there, and you run the risk of ruining everything that you have built. This place is called McLean, isn't it?
Yes.
This new development. And it's on Lake Wylie. I think it's a 670-acre housing community. It will eventually extend from Lake Wylie to Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden. It's going to swell the tax coffers.
It will.
What else does it have the potential of doing?
Of adding value to our community. As Brian mentioned earlier, you know, they're historically, there's been a tension between the folks that have lived in Belmont all their lives and the people like Chad and me that have only been there a few years. But I think that the new folks add flavor and value to the community as well, and the people who are going to move to McLean will do that as well. Now, the concern, obviously, is traffic and the impact of the schools. The McLean development is at Lake Wylie on South New Hope Road beside the Botanical Garden. Those are state roads. So we're working with NCDOT to make sure that the traffic generated by the development is mitigated by the developer, mm-hmm. so that the taxpayers don't have to pay for that. But Belmont is on a peninsula, and the New Hope Peninsula is also bordered by water. So there's only so much connectivity we can have. That's right. Why we require new neighborhoods to connect to existing neighborhoods and stub out to future neighborhoods so that people have options on how they get around. So that, you know, it's sort of like in high school when the bell would ring and everybody left the classroom into the central hallway and you're stuck. I mean, that's sort of how the peninsula is becoming if we don't have better connectivity.
How do you protect, if you don't have historic preservation rules and regulations, I know you're talking about them, how do you protect what you've got? How do you protect the uniqueness of Belmont? Because it's not just that downtown Main Street. It extends out from that for a pretty long way. How do you protect that?
Well, I think what Adrian was saying earlier, and Brian as well, the development of a downtown Belmont Historical Foundation, as a property owner, you know, I feel personally obligated to do the right thing.
But not everybody would necessarily feel that.
Agree. Exactly. And that's kind of where I was going with that is you can't – there's going to reach a certain point where certain people are going to just not have that obligation to personally do the right thing. Speaking of the McLean development, I'm not privy to their whole plan, but I have met the developer, and I think – they are taking the steps to preserve the history of it. They've already preserved one house that was originally built on the property back in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. They've preserved that and built that as their information center.
Not only have you preserved your Main Street, so it looks like it probably looked at it during its heyday, this is actually its heyday. It wasn't 100 years ago, 150 years ago, because Belmont now has 86 businesses, the largest number ever. Mm-hmm. Even when it was a textile town?
Yes. In the textile town, we only had several, you know, they were large businesses. Now they employed everybody. Now we have mainly small businesses, which gives you a more diversified economy. So it makes us stronger. Unfortunately, you know, some small businesses don't make it, but we've got one vacant storefront downtown now that's not going to stay vacant very long. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, the business couldn't survive. But
What about residential real estate? Is it a fast turnover there as well?
It is, particularly in the center city area, mm-hmm. where it's so walkable. I mean, houses don't stay on the market very long, mm-hmm. or they don't go on the market at
if
all.
Ever.
They just sort of, you know somebody, and you sell the house to them.
Well, I can attest to that as well, because I actually sold my house in Belmont and then moved to a new house in Belmont, mm-hmm. and it was only on the market, Mike, for 3 days.
Wow.
Phenomenal. Now, granted, it was not a mansion by any means. It was about a $150,000 house, but still, for three days. Yeah. That's phenomenal.
That's great.
As assistant city manager, you get to focus on quality of life issues for citizens. So what have you been working on? What do people tell you about what they want in terms of quality of life?
They want a great community where you can raise your family and you can be outside and be active. So one thing we've been working on, we've spent $250,000 in the last 5 years on our sidewalks, on building some new sidewalks, but just refurbishing our old sidewalks. In fact, we had sidewalks downtown that were damaged by Hurricane Hugo that we only repaired a few years ago. Mm. So we see people outside walking. I run in the mornings before dawn, and we see a ton of people out at 5:30 in the morning running. You see people walking all day long. You see them out in the evenings. So we want to make a safe environment for people to walk. So focusing on our infrastructure is important.
And you did something, I guess it's your main street, that we've done with East Boulevard here in Charlotte, which was controversial when we did it. You turned a four-lane street into a two-lane pedestrian-friendly road in order to attract people. And that seems, on the face of it, counterintuitive. You're narrowing the road and you want more people on it. How did that work out?
That's right. It's worked out well. We did that on Main Street back in the 90s. It was a four-lane road. Now it's a two-lane road with on-street parking, wide sidewalks, and trees. Traffic actually flows better. It slows traffic down. It's a 20-mile-an-hour road. When people slow down as they're driving, then they can look and they can see Happy Dog Cafe, and they can see the String Bean, and they can see the park. And then they know that, hey, let's get out and go shopping.
And that's going back to Kevin Lofton and the leadership back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Parking, it's kind of a joke. Parking is very, very important, especially for retail like Brian and restaurants like myself.
Very important.
But, so is green space. And so is that active lifestyle of taking the four lane down to two. You want people and their children and just tourists even just parking and walking down the street. Mm-hmm. People can find a place to park in Belmont.
We don't have a parking problem. We have a walking problem.
You
may have to walk a block to the store, but you can find a parking space.
Yes.
Steve, via our website at WFAE.org, having moved here from Raleigh 3 years ago, where new restaurants and shops shot up at the speed of mushrooms, I have noticed that launching a new business in Belmont takes a shockingly long time. Longtime residents tell me that city regulators are to blame. What is the truth? Okay, city regulator.
I'll jump in and defend Adrian on this one.
Thank you, Chad.
I'm not sure of his individual issues or roadblocks, but in my instance, for both of my businesses, the city was great. The misconception might be that the city regulates the building inspection process. That's actually a county process.
Exactly.
That was a little frustrating, but. There's certain hurdles that are always.
So is Gaston County tougher on that sort of thing than Wake County would have been up in Raleigh?
Well, I don't know about Wake County, but we have the same building code to enforce. Now, the city has the zoning ordinance, and as we've been mentioning, the downtown area has 100-year-old buildings. And so when you take a 100-year-old building that's been a store for 100 years and you want to convert it to a restaurant, there's certain things that have to be done to make sure the
you have to bring it up to code.
The staff and the customers are safe, so they have to bring
That's
it
right.
up to code.
Which is universal. It's not just
universal
to your area.
It certainly would be easier for Chad to have built a new building out on Wilson Boulevard than to renovate a historic building.
What if somebody wanted to come in there and buy a building on Main Street that's been there since 1850 or something like that and say, you know, I want to put McDonald's here? Could they?
They could, but they couldn't have a drive-through. So there's nothing to prevent, national chains downtown.
But that would really ruin the look.
It would.
So,
well, it could.
Why haven't you?
It could. If somebody wanted to put a fast food or a national restaurant or fast
or just
food
an
place,
ultra-modern building of some sort.
An ultra-modern building would look out of place. Our community, I don't think, would support it.
Are there height restrictions? Can I put a skyscraper on Main Street?
You can go up to three stories. That's it.
But sadly, there is nothing in place, though.
There's nothing in place to prevent someone from knocking down an old building and building a new one.
Somebody mentioned green space a second ago, and you have a downtown park, which a lot of small towns seem to have. But it's a place that people actually go and congregate. It's a 10-acre park in the middle of town. How is it used?
It's used every day. In fact, on my way into work this morning, I saw people out doing yoga in the park. You see people walking and running through it. The local daycares and the schools use the playground as walking field trips. We have weddings in the park. We have festivals in the park.
I attended a wedding in the summer, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I also read that the Catawba River, which, as you say, runs through your town or near your town, used to be considered your backyard. It was a place where textile mills dumped their dyes and changed the color of the river on a regular basis. That's all stopped. And right. So now it's become your front yard, in Lake Wylie. What does that mean, it's become your front yard?
Well, for so long, we didn't really consider ourselves a river town, and yet we have two rivers. So now we're embracing the Catawba River, we particularly with the U.S. National Whitewater Center just upstream from us. It's easier to get to on the water than it is on bike or certainly by car. So we are building a $2.3 million river park named after former Mayor Kevin Lofton, who lived in that area and was a big opponent of Belmont, as we've mentioned. So we want to have public access to the river. We want to make sure that people who don't live on the water have access to the water. That's really important to us.
And I read that next year you'll be able to launch a canoe from the U.S. National Whitewater Center, which is on the Charlotte side of the river, and paddle to Belmont for lunch in the River District's restaurants. Have those restaurants even been built yet? Are they open? Are they?
We do. We have several restaurants.
Okay.
We have White's Restaurant, which is historic.
Definitely.
Lunch and breakfast. Place we have a new barbecue restaurant.
Peace and Harmony.
Yeah, Peace and Harmony.
Correct.
I
love that name.
So our vision is that people can put in a canoe or a kayak at the Whitewater Center or in the new marina in Mount Holly, paddle down the river, dock at our Kevin Lofton Riverfront Park, and then walk into what we call East Belmont or the River District.
Mm-hmm. It's diversifying our transportation needs.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Well, speaking of rivers and things like that and restaurants, Twana on Twitter says the Belmont fish camps are also great.
Absolutely.
Faith on our website says, what can you tell us about the plans to address the aging infrastructure, traffic, roads, schools, also jobs, especially good paying ones? What's being done?
Well, we have spent a tremendous amount of money the last several years on our water and sewer infrastructure, and those were put in place by the mills 120 years ago and just are inadequate.
Right.
So we have been replacing the water and sewer lines. The city council has focused on our infrastructure. We've been paving and improving our city streets. Now, we're blessed and also sometimes cursed with having state roads run through our town. So that's the responsibility of the state to improve those roads. But we have a great relationship with DOT, and they've been very responsive. But for widening roads, making intersection improvements to help with the congestion, we've got to work with our friends in the state.
How will you be impacted? Charlotte's talked a lot about the impact it may get from this new idea of redistribution of sales tax revenues. The legislature has decided that the money should go to smaller or less wealthy areas of the state, and we are set to lose a lot of money here in Charlotte if that happens. How would it impact a town like Belmont?
There was an article in the Observer this morning that says Gaston County as a whole will gain. We've also seen studies that says Belmont will lose. It seems to be, and I don't know the details, and I think they're changing, but it seems to be that the communities that are doing a great job attracting retail and restaurants and businesses are being punished for that under this plan. We hope that doesn't happen, sales tax is our second biggest funding source next to property taxes, and if we have to send our sales tax to Tyrrell County, then we're going to have to make up for that somehow. And
it'd be a huge blow to Belmont for sure.
Okay.
That's a deterrent for small business owners. I don't know what Brian's motivation was, but I'm passionate about what I do, and I'm excited that we're doing very well, and we were fortunate enough to, within 8 years, to open two businesses in downtown Belmont. We chose to stay in Belmont. I live in Belmont. as far as jobs are concerned, retail and restaurant tend to be the black sheep, as far as jobs are concerned. But in 8 years, I have 42 employees. I have four full-time salary employees, and two of them just moved to Belmont. So, we're trying to give back as much as possible.
You have an extraordinary number of amenities for a town your size. Just in the vicinity, Crowder's Mountain, the U.S. National Whitewater Center, the Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden, of which there is nothing like it in the state, the river, you're close to the airport. How do all those things impact life in Belmont? How has it What's it done for you?
It just makes it that much better. I mean, my family and I went to the Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden to see the quartz plant last night, and it's great. It took us 10 minutes to drive down there. We got to enjoy this beautiful botanical garden and then come back. And as we were coming back at about 8:30 last night, our sidewalks were full of runners and walkers. People were riding their bikes around town. So we're attracting people that want to be outdoors and be active. Having Crowder's Mountain in our backyard is fantastic. Having the Whitewater Center has been a big impact on
us.
Very quickly, Grant says, I'm a four-year resident of Belmont. What brought me here along with two co-workers from out of state? The Mercy Heritage Center. We are the National Archives of the Sister of Mercy of the Americas. We are located on the former Sacred Heart campus of the Sisters of Mercy, who came here in 1892 at the request of the brothers at Belmont Abbey to operate a school for girls. I love walking around Belmont. Lovely. Chuck says the tracks are there for a commuter to Charlotte. Will there be a commuter train to Charlotte from Belmont Mount Holly? What a great idea.
We have had discussions about that. As you know, commuter trains into Charlotte and out of Charlotte are controversial and very expensive, but we're hoping one day to have that.
The tracks are there. Are they operable? Could you put a train on it today and run it?
With some minor upgrades, yes.
Yes. That's correct.
Well, now, there's a business idea for one of you guys to latch onto. Then Lyft via website says, when is the Harris Teeter actually
Great question.
Going, actually That's one of our top
to
questions.
Open.
Yes,
That's
great
one of
question.
Our top questions. And in fact, Aaron asked that this morning. Hopefully soon. We anticipate receiving plans for that soon that's been approved.
Very excited about that.
You're holding Friday night live concerts in the park. You have food truck Thursday. This is very much like what's going on in Matthews, and they've been very successful evenings, haven't they?
Yes.
We have to stop here. Adrian Miller, Assistant City Manager of the City of Belmont, Chad Hutchinson from the String Bean, Brian Anderson from the Happy Dog Cafe. Thanks for the hour.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins.